Okay. Well, good morning. Welcome to Bible class this morning. And we certainly would like to welcome Cecil Yates back with us today. What a great day. Well, as we do gather together this morning, we remember, as we always do, the words of our Apostle Paul as we are gathered together as one body in Christ. And Paul taught us and teaches us that whether one of those members suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so the first few minutes of the class is for announcements, and if there's anything that we certainly suffer when you suffer and rejoice when you're honored, and if there's any announcements that you'd like to make the assembly aware of, now's the time to do that.
And
yeah. So deacons meeting on the 17th, that's the week prior. And as far as the schedule goes, I am determined to finish the book of Romans by the end of this month, by the annual meeting. And so I'm not sure how it's going to go. We may have to have 5, 10, 15 extra classes. No, I'm just kidding. But it is a challenge, but we've got to get done. I mean, after 20-some years, it's time to get done. And intend to do that, and we've got a lot to cover, so it's going to take a while to, or take all of our time dedicated to that. But the 24th of this month, we should be having the annual meeting. This is a requirement by the government and state and all that kind of wonderful business, but we will be having our annual meeting second session on the 24th, and then we will be on spring break for a week. When we come back from spring break on the 8th of May, the intention is to have a major celebration here in honor of our completion of the book of Romans and the edification that we have received from that book. Churches celebrate all kinds of goofy nonsense like Easter and all that kind of business. We're going to celebrate godly edification and some special fellowship and communion. This hasn't really been all planned out. I know some of you ladies like to plan things, and so if there's food or whatever that needs to be planned, but we're going to spend that. We'll give more details on that special day and let you know as we get closer to it. But we also want to welcome our guests today who stopped by whenever they're on their way down here. Orlando and his wife, I'm sorry, Lucy. And your last name?
Plaza.
Oh, okay. And the moment I saw them, I said, "I know them. We've met before." And they've been here a couple times. So we're glad that you stopped by to fellowship with us today. And anybody else have any announcements or anything? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And so she'll be just up in my neck of the woods. I'll be able to drop in and see her up there. All right. Anything else? Now we've got a few that are out today, but I don't know of any serious problems. But anyway, all right. Well, very good. Well, the only other thing I've got, I do have a note. Cecil gave me a note from the folks there in Evansville, and I thought I would just read a little bit of that. You know them, and they're kind of our extended church family out there. And Diana Walters wrote to us and said, it's actually to Cecil, it says, "Hope this finds you doing better each day. Mark said today that he visited you and you were getting stronger. Hope Jerry is well too. We all send our well wishes and gratitude for you. We press on here. Had all back in church for the first time in 6 weeks. Bobby was very sick with COVID and was doing better, and is doing better now, but still not 100%. We know that we are blessed to have God's inspired word that we can rely on to equip us for any battle that we may face in this evil world. We value having resources to help in our edification and for the ministry of Triangle Bible Church to help us in this process. Please know that we pray for you, Mark, and the family at Triangle Bible Church regularly. And she says, sending long-distance greetings from Indiana as we press on in our pursuit of sonship edification, Lori, Mary, Bobby, and Diana. And so just wanted to pass that on to you as well. And so we appreciate them and their continued support for us over these many years. If it wasn't for Denny, her husband, who died many years ago, I wouldn't understand right division. So he was responsible for that. All right. Now, this morning, we, as I say, because we've got a lot to cover here, we're going to dispense with special music and get right into our study here this morning. And so we'll just get underway. And now, please, would you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. The very end of the book, the last three verses, verse 25. And I don't mind reading and rereading and rereading these verses because of how important they are to you and to me as members of the body of Christ in this dispensation of grace. As God has the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, it would be my son. As he ends the book of Romans with this grand statement. Verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Chris, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we do thank you again for the wonderful privilege we have to be a local body of Christ, to continue to allow your words to give us understanding and wisdom that we might then display the working of your body together, the edification of your body, of itself in love, as we move forward and we consider how your word is designed to establish us in the faith.
All right. One of the things that I've realized is that if I'm ever going to get done with this, we're going to have to not do so much review every time that we get together. Is somebody still out there? What's that? Are we settled in? Oh, okay. And we okay to go on? Okay. All right. One of the things that I've realized as we start to end this book is that if I'm going to end it on time, I can't do a lot of review. And so I'm not going to do any this morning. As we're going to pick up where we left off on last Wednesday night, we are now dealing with the last three verses of Romans, which is actually the third of three parts of our Father's instruction to us as far as the labor that we're going to do with him in some working together as sons and daughters, providing for the successful establishment of any and all who are affected by phase one of the satanic policy of evil. And phase one is the attack on the message. And these particular areas that are brought up here in verses 25, 6, and 7 are definitely the focus of attention of the adversary and his policy of evil to attack God's message and to keep the mystery of Christ a mystery, to keep rightly dividing the word of truth, something that is just a foreign concept to most Christians today, and therefore have going on in huge churches, lots of Christians, lots of programs, but to have going on, the Bible's not going to get jettisoned, but the gagging of God and the silencing of the scriptures through mishandling of the Word of God, not rightly dividing it, and not paying attention to what God is actually doing today. And as I've said, these three verses are often appealed to by folks as a matter of being able to present to somebody the difference in God's program with Israel and what He's doing today. That's fine. I have no problem with that. But that's not what these verses are there for. You'll notice that Paul doesn't explain anything in these verses. He doesn't explain any of it. When he talks about establish and he talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, he tells you kept secret since the world began, but he doesn't explain what the mystery is. He doesn't explain the other aspects. There's four basic aspects to all. He doesn't explain any of it. And that's because it's already supposed to be understood by the time you get here to the end of the book of Romans. These aren't new things. And he's not setting these things forth to teach you the fact of it. You already know the fact of it. And I think one of the most important things we've done is to really not approach these verses the way they're often approached, even by grace folks, who rightly so want to appeal to these verses when it comes to being able to understand God's Word rightly divided. I have no problem with that. I'll use them that way myself. No problem with that. But that's the what of it. That's not the why of it. And what we did, without going back in review, we have an appreciation and an understanding for why our Heavenly Father is telling us this and why these verses are at the end of the book of Romans. And that has to do with the policy of evil, and it has to do with it being the way in which the book of Romans is going to be attached to 1 Corinthians. And to be able to see that, we've taken these verses and taken the middle section out. It is a benedictory type statement of Paul. Now to him, and that's God, we know it's God from verse 27, that is of power to establish you, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Everything else is in the middle section of that. And what's interesting in all of that is that there are two major features of God's attributes that are stated here: His power and His wisdom. And those three, then there's going to be three major issues. Each one has the word according attached to it. And these three according issues, as I call it, are all three wrapped up in God's power and in God's wisdom to put on display the greatest power that He has ever put on display, the power in your inner man to be able to get the living words of the living God living within you. And His power is going to be challenged. It's sad that most of God's power today is challenged by Christians, so-called Christians, who claim to have the corner on the power of God. And I'm talking about charismatics, apostolic, Pentecostals. They talk about God's power and all this kind of thing. And that's not even a close to the power of God. And those things aren't going on today. And so it's a shame that most Christians today completely misunderstand and underestimate the power of God and the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God contained and wrapped up in these three elements, these three according elements. They're going to be the focus of the attack of the adversary, and he's been very successful over the years. And as you know, those three according issues is according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began to now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. According, according, according. And that therefore, and God's power and wisdom is seen in all of those, and it's almost like having God's threefold power and wisdom for the edification process going forward. That's what these things are being stated. That's what a father would state and make sure was in the very forefront of his son's mind as he's now going to move on to begin to face rigorous opposition and rigorous attack from the policy of evil, and yet go on and get the remainder of his edification as you make your way sense and sequence, book by book, through Paul's letters from Romans through Philemon as that curriculum unfolds. So In our last what we've got so far is really we've been dealing with up here at this first statement. Now to him that is a power to establish you. And on Wednesday night we covered the word establish. That's not establish, that's establish. Not gonna review it. The details are there. We covered them in great detail on Wednesday night. But Romans is bookended by establish in Romans 1:11 and establish. It's not the only bookend, by the way, but it's bookended by those two matters. And that establish issue is something that is critically important. Not going to get into it today. Got too much to cover. If you want to know the difference between establish and establish, and buddy, you need to know the difference, then you can get that information. It's available to you, and I highly suggest you get it. We need to move on this morning. Now, to him that is a power to establish you, and this morning we're going to begin turning our attention now to these three according issues. According to my gospel. And then we will deal with the second one and the third one, and then hopefully that will end up right about the end of this month. But this first one right here, according to my gospel. Now to him that is a power to establish you, according to my gospel. Now I'll give you a little bit of homework. What does according mean? In harmony with. That's good. We're going to pick up on that. Anybody else? Isn't it neat that it's a musical thing? Boy, am I in my wheelhouse this morning. Because I have a deep music background. And by the way, it's not in singing. I am a horrible singer. I'm not, what is it with pastors? Is this idea that, oh, you got to be a great singer to be a pastor. Well, apparently I'm not, because I can't sing. I've been told by really, really good singers that I am really, really bad, and I believe them. My music lies in instruments, not in singing. Although I had to sing a lot, but I had the great advantage. Oh, I'm going off on a tangent. Cindy said, I'm going to put my hand up when you start going on a rabbit trail. But I will tell you this. When I was in music college, we had to do choir. The guy who sat next to me had perfect pitch. His name was Charlie King, and I'd always nudge Charlie, and I'd say, hum the first note in my ear, and he would hum that note. I'd start out on pitch because Charlie had perfect pitch. Anyway, all right, according to my gospel. Good. Anybody else? Yeah, that's good. We're going to pick up on all these things. You've done your homework. This is great. Yeah, all right, anybody else? There is a legal basis for it. Yeah, in certain legal contexts, it can be used that way. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Right. Yeah, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to get your input on all of that, and then I wanted to ask you, as we go through this, we're going to find out, What is the significance of that? I mean, it's one thing to see it, but it's another thing to say there's something really significant about that, that he uses according three times here when talking about God's power and wisdom to provide for your edification with these three matters: Paul's gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and the scriptures of the prophets. This is going to include the upcoming epistles that Paul's going to write. And that's the means by which God is to be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. All right? Well, good. I don't want to cut you short, but I got a lot to cover. When I approach these things, I always ask myself the question, what is significant about using that particular word according here in the context? Why not use? He could have used other words. And by the way, As I said before, it is the Greek word kata, which is K-A-T-A, kata or kata. And It can be handled in other ways than according. So the King James translators, when they saw this, they could have said, "Now to him that has power to establish you by my gospel." People would look at it and say, "Well, it's pretty much the same thing." And it is very close. Or he could have said, "Now to him that has power to establish you through my gospel," or "after my gospel," or "in my gospel." Why according? You see, those are the things that keep me up at night. It must be important because God has the Apostle Paul use it specifically to mark out and distinguish those three most critical issues of God's power and wisdom for the success of your edification going forward out of the book, going out of the book of Romans, graduating Romans doctrine, and moving into 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and hopefully moving to Ephesians doctrine, getting the meat of Paul's epistles. So it has to be important. We spent some time on this word, actually, back in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. This isn't the first time we've had this word. And so I want to talk about it just a little bit. Let's take that off. This is I can tell you've done your homework and you've done it well. And so I'm going to correspond with what you have just said. According, the word according does mean agreeing with, or corresponding to, matching up with, consistent with. It can mean exactly, or just as, suitably, proper, in a manner conforming to. The meaning of agreeing with and consistent with are really the most relevant definitions for this context. According to my gospel, agreeing with my gospel, according to my gospel, consistent with my gospel. God is going to establish you only according to that, only consistent with that, only agreeing with Paul's gospel, the gospel that was given to Paul by God. That's what is going to establish you. So those two expressions, my understanding anyway, is that that issue of agreeing with and being consistent with are the most relevant definitions. But the King James translators didn't use those words either. They had them available. They used according to. And by the way, that little word is significant too. You think about this. They said according to. To is, it indicates a particular relationship. And it emphasizes firmly, according to. If he had said, by my gospel, the word to would be left out. To, according to. I mean, it sounds emphatic, and it should be. Even a little often used word like that little word to, when it's orchestrated right and it's composed in just the right place, has a great effect, and it does, according to. And it emphasizes firmly, it with no question, with no equivocation. In other words, not sidestepping it, not fudging on it, not compromising it. God carefully chose every single word, including that little word too, to drive home the issue that, listen, son, as you and I stand at the end of this magnificent doctrinal book and your first level of edification is my son and my daughter, I want to tell you something. From now on, I know you know these things, but I want these things to be in the forefront of your mind, and you're going to go on, and I'm going to have my power and wisdom is going to establish you. It's going to build upon the foundation of Romans, the rest of the superstructure of your edification. And going forward, it's going to be my power and my wisdom, not your own conceited idea of how it's to be done, on my power and my wisdom according to Paul's gospel. My gospel, the Apostle Paul says, and it's going to be according to it. And that to issue just, I'm not saying it stings, but it just, it tells you that God is not, God is absolutely unbending when it comes to this issue. This is going to be a shock to most Christians at the judgment seat of Christ when they realize that they, how how horribly mangled they handled the Word of God. He is unbending on these points. He has to be. Paul's gospel is the only information in the Bible that has anything to do with this new entity of the body of Christ. It's the only information in the Bible that has anything to do with how God is going to repossess the heavenly places and reconcile them back to himself from Satan and his cohorts. It doesn't appear anywhere else. And that's what his mission is, his job, his dedicated purpose and aim and goal and objective today is. He's unbending. Why would he bend on that? He is unbending. He is absolutely, and he's telling you, when you go forward with this, you don't sidestep this issue, don't compromise, don't fudge on it, don't alter it, and you're going to be tempted to do that. Both the adversary and his policy of evil and the general course of this world that Christianity has fallen into, hand in hand with. The world just loves Christianity. As long as it can say that God didn't mean what he said in the Bible and that that's old archaic, they're great with Christianity. As long as it forms itself and complies itself to the form of this world, then they're just happy as pigs in slop with it. And God is telling you and me in no uncertain terms here, don't alter this message. Don't compromise this message. Don't compromise or alter the following stated thing, my gospel. But let's get back to that word according. Why according? According to my gospel. Well, when you look at the word according, as you have seen, what is its root form? Let's put a whiteboard up here. Okay, I hear you saying it already, cord. And it's C-O-R-D. Now, we would, as you've probably studied this out, not surprising and interesting to find that even the word accord, has a root to it. And that's that word cord, C-O-R-D. Accord, cord, according. All right, and we often spell accord can refer to one thing. We also have a same similar sounding word, C-H-O-R-D, accord. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But that's really what this is. It's a cord, a cord. That's what it's talking about. And it's interesting to note, hang in here, but it's interesting to note that according to Skeet, and Skeet is one of the foremost etymologies on the English language, the word accord is derived from the Latin, the AC is actually the English form of the Latin AD, ad, which is the word to in Latin. Ad is to, that is, in agreement with. And cord, which is the stem from Stereos back there will like this. C, within all of this, there's another root, C-O-R. That's talking about the heart. Your carotid artery, some of the aspects of the heart, C-O-R. Is Latin, yes. The Latin C-O-R. And so we have the Latin A-C to or in agreement with the heart. Agreeing with the heart. And this is, as we will see, an important reason as to why the King James translators chose that word according. Agreeing with the heart. And that should be meaningful to you at this point. The word according has various definitions, accordant being one of them. And in Smith's Synonyms Discriminated, Charles Smith says this, I like this, accordant from the Latin accordare, meaning as if to bring to one heart. And that's exactly what our Father's doing here at the end of Romans. The whole idea of you being edified as God's son and as God's daughter is that you are crying, Abba, Father, that you want his heart to be your heart, to be one in heart. So he's using according because he says, by this time, son, you and I should be brought into one heart on these three matters. My gospel, the preaching of it, of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment. With those three matters, we have to have one heart on going forward. Charles Smith goes on and says, accordant is commonly used of consistency in specific matters of statement, evidence, or testimony. But beyond this, accordant follows the various aspects of the verb to accord, which expresses agreement in representation. Listen to this, and some of you have touched on this. Agreement in representation, statement, taste, opinion, feeling. How many of you came across that issue of feeling? Sentiment, desire, principle, aim, belief, and moral conduct. But it is not applicable to purely physical forms, physical action or force. The word accord, as we use it in the English language, has actually borrowed from, I'm not quoting Smith anymore, has actually borrowed from several languages for its origins. But Noah Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, says this, in some of its applications, it is naturally deduced from the Italian corda, which is the string of a musical instrument. All right, I can't draw at all. I can draw about as good as I can sing. But that's a string. And you've seen a guitar or a banjo, we have a piano, strings. And that's really what the root of accord is all about, or according. It's talking about the string of a musical instrument, and that's why one of the ways to define accord is harmony. You mentioned that, right? Harmony. A harmony of minds, an agreement of minds, minds that are consistent with each other, which is why the radical root chord is our English word concord. See where this is going? We have that same root in our English word concord, depicting a close-knit fellowship and communion. 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? And that's the reason that's brought up that way, is that's not consistent with, in agreement with, that is not according to my identity in Christ and who God has made me to be in Christ. That's why concord is used there. And the significance of the use of accord or according is actually found in that radical root issue of accord. I'm going to talk about that for a moment here. Or a string of a musical instrument. The idea of having a harmony of minds or having an agreement of minds. And we can see that, for example, in members of the remnant of Israel. We're not going to turn there, but you remember what they did in Acts chapter 2. The remnant of Israel, that little flock of Israel, got together, and Peter was going to address them on the day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2. And when the remnant saints there are described in the opening chapter of the book of Acts, it says this, this is Acts 2:1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They weren't in a Honda. They were in all with one accord. They had an agreement of minds. And that's because a string of an instrument, when he uses the word accord, the string of an instrument, my hope is that at the end of this lesson today, you will never ever think about the word accord like you used to. The string of an instrument has features to it. Let's say that this string, and I should have had my hands are shaky, so the string is not very strung tight. But let's say that this is a C note. So that string is stretched. That string is stretched to make the note, we'll say middle C. And by the way, a piano is tuned to A440. That A should have 440 beats to it. And whoever tunes that piano, and I know this is Katie's, but I don't know how long it's been tuned. I hope it's carrying some tune because I'm going to use it in a moment. But all music today is tuned to A440, 440 beats per, that's moved, by the way. It's not what it used to be. So from that A440, all the other notes can be tuned. Now let's say that that's that C, all right? And you heard that C, I'm not going to sing it, but... All right, if you took that chord, and that chord is strumming and it's beating, if you took that C and you halved it, you were able to, and you'll see guitar players do this. You'll see a guitar player playing, and then you'll see him do this. He'll just touch, touch, touch. And what he's doing is he is halving that string, and that's called a harmonic. And when you take a string that's beating and you cut it in half, guess what this note is? It's C again, but it's an octave higher. So if I took this string and I cut it in half, I'd have that note. Kinda. Okay? The beautiful thing about the study of harmonics is that in that note of C, whether you realize it or not, is every single harmonic in the family of C. So if I took this chord and I took the half of that chord and I halved it again, I'd get a G. And if I took that and halved it again, I'd get an E. And C, E, G is the C chord. Watch this. This needs tuned. Okay, I'm playing three notes. Now, sounds good. What if I did this? Something's terribly wrong. That's the way my piano player in Indiana played. She just... Now, preach. Okay. What if I were to tell you, though, that in this one note, this C, in that one note, I can make that one string, that's, well, actually, in the piano, it's three strings, but we'll say it's one string. I can make that one string sound the notes in that chord. I talked about halving it would be C. If I carefully push that note down or key down so that the hammer is drawn away, so the chord is open right now, and if I strike its first harmonic, which is C, cutting it in half, this lower C should sound like this upper C. Let's see if it'll work. It'll only work if it's in tune. Oh, wait a minute, I hit it. Here we go. Hear it? That's that note. There it is. Let's see if we can get the next harmonic, which would be the G above it. Hear it singing? I wonder if we could get the E. It's barely there. Let's see if we can get the lower E. There it is. And the reason for that is because, now if I was to do that with, let's say, a different note, notice you don't hear it. That's because C sharp is not in the harmonic pattern of that C chord. That will only resonate and be excited by, and you'll know this if you've been in a place where there's guitars sitting out or banjos sitting out, stringed instruments, and a crowd, you're singing everything, everybody cuts off, and you'll hear the strings on it. That's because somebody has been singing or playing something in that harmonic pattern, and it's excited that chord or that single string. So what's interesting about this is the makeup of a chord is the first. So if we have the C scale, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, there's actually seven notes. The eighth note gets repeated. So if C is number one, the third note is E, and the fifth note is G. That's a good chord. What is that? That's Beethoven. That's the Ode to Joy from the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Beethoven didn't do... Beethoven didn't do that. Although I'd think sometimes maybe he did just for fun, but he didn't tell anybody. By the way, this... Does that sound sad? It should sound sad. That's in minor key. Do you know that all the music for Israel, even to this day, if you listen to Israeli music at a symphony written by Jews, Jewish music is all minor key. It's all sad. But this is not sad. That's glad. That's harmony. Does that sound good to you? How does this sound? We call that dissonant. And by the way, in some places, that can actually be used, but it's very dissonant. It's we don't like that. That's not agreeable. That's agreeable. And the first, and by the way, Charles Smith, in his Synonyms Discriminated, actually says the first, third, and fifth notes of a key being in accordance form a concord when struck together. That's a concord. G isn't C, but it's within C. E isn't C, but it's within C. It's all in concord. It's a beautiful depiction of the body of Christ. A lot of different people, but in the same chord. All right. So what I was trying to do, by the way, I'm going to come back to this because this is going to be meaningful in a moment for those of you who just suffered through that. According is designed to direct your thinking in a very particular way regarding these three big issues by which the edification process is going to be carried out going forward. Now, that's not to say, by the way, that they haven't already been going on and been big, big issues all along, because they have. But they are the three big issues. Those three accordings are the three big issues that, as I said, will be the focus of attack and opposition by the policy of evil going forward, and therefore they need to be appreciated. They need to be understood for the value of them, and they need to be protected. They need to be recognized as that's what I'm going to have to stick to that, and I'm going to have to adhere to that. And since we're talking about all things musical, and I'm going to be attuned to those things. Those are the things that strum my heartstrings. Those are the things that resonate within me. So going forward in the edification process is going to be with no alteration to them, no compromise to them, which would be conceited and foolish to think or operate otherwise. I would absolutely be a fool in my Father's sight if I'm going to operate on anything other than the gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the man, and on and on. Those things, if I deviate from those or I compromise with those, I'm going to be looked at as a fool in my Father's sight. Now, we could spend a lot more time looking at some things here as far as dictionary definitions and a bunch of other things, but one of the things that all of these definitions talk about, I want to get back to this issue, and we're going to tie this together with a little demonstration that we just had. All of the meanings that talk about and describe the shades of meaning of the word accord is that the word accord carries the shade of meaning of a harmony of minds. Harmony is a big, big thing to me in musically. That's what CEG is. E and G is in harmony with C. Other notes are not. They're dissonant. They're not agreeable. Some notes are, some notes aren't. And that's one of the beauties of chord progressions and changes, and there's a lot of information in there that would bore you to tears. But what I'm after here is that that's something that we've all recognized. It carries a chord, is a harmony of minds. And beyond that, I want to come back to something that I stated and some of you saw as well. As it's an agreement of feelings. And I got to tell you, I don't care much for that because I'm just not a feeling kind of guy. I'm not warm and fuzzy, as most people know. But there is something to this. This is being used here, and you've got to face it. It's an agreement of feelings, an agreement of sentiment, and actually, I'm excited about that. As Smith says, there are not so much, things are not so much demonstrated as felt to a chord. That's why I did that on the piano. I wanted you to hear it, and when it was all that bad sounding stuff, I wanted you to feel the badness of it. It's like this. Listen to this. Oh! Wrong note on the end. See, you felt it. It doesn't agree. And you're right. You felt it. And that's what I want to focus on here for a moment, because we haven't got to the radical root why to this just yet, but we're getting there. Smith said, things are not so much demonstrated as felt to accord. It is an agreement in general character and in spirit. My Father and I stand at the end of the book of Romans, and He can look at me and say, son, you now have a measure of my spirit. I'm not talking about Holy Spirit, but we're talking about what Paul will rip into the Corinthians about. You no longer are getting the spirit which is of this world, but the spirit which is of God. That small case S spirit. The Holy Spirit, large case S Spirit, has taken the Word of God, written it upon the fleshy tables of your heart. It's actually living within you, and it is changing your human small case S Spirit to conform with, to be attuned to, and in tune with my Heavenly Father's own Spirit. Now, when there is accordance with God's word, with the curriculum God wrote in Paul's epistles, to our being conformed to the image of God's Son. In other words, putting our position in Christ into practice in the details of our lives. Or put another way, when there is accordance with our position in Christ. Remember this particular chart that we've got to show who we are in Christ positionally, when there is accordance between what we are positionally to the details of our lives, putting all of that into practice, the practical details of our lives as we live them out in the evil course of this world that Satan has charted, and as we endure the effects, the policy of evil, and we do that consistent with and agreeing with the position in Christ that God has made us to be, when there is accordance with that, do you know what that does? Without God being here in person, and He could be. I mean, He's God. He could just show up. And without Him audibly saying anything, broadcasting something over the internet, well, as if God needs that. The internet is going to be completely shanghaied, but when Christ comes back, every eye shall see Him. God doesn't need the internet for that. But what this does, when there is accordance with God's word, in His word, taking that position He's made you to be in Christ, putting it into practice, without God isn't doing second best. He's not coming along and saying, I'm just not going to show up on earth and let those people do what. No, He says, I have my testimony in that earth. It's on that earth. As if I were there myself. I don't need to be there in person. My Son's body is on that earth. Every member of the body of Christ, every Christian today is a member of that body. Most don't even know it. But for the ones that do and actually take seriously what church is supposed to be for in the first place, which isn't some place to watch your kids or some place to have programs, but it is a place where godly edifying, which is in faith, is supposed to be taking place. When you walk out of here and you put that Word of God into practice, what it is doing is that accordance with God, all being in accordance with God's Word, it provides incontestable evidence and proof of the power and the wisdom of God regarding edification and the edification process. When you do this, when you actually are able to take your position in Christ and put it into practice, not by force, not by the law, not by fear, motivation, or anything else, but by the living words of God, the Word of God, and the New Testament benefits, having the Spirit of God be able to write that on the fleshy tables of your heart, and you actually become the living epistle of Christ. You're the walking, talking book of Romans in this world. That is showing the incontestable and absolute evidence of the power and wisdom of God that He wants demonstrated to this world of the edification process and its power. And that's one of the reasons why you have that, where are my verses? That's one of the reasons why you have those two attributes of God bracketing those three major according issues. You have the privilege and the honor of putting forth incontestable evidence. You want to see the evidence of God? Look at me. And I'm not proud and arrogant when I'm saying that, because I sin and I still fail miserably. But I am before you today the most unworthy candidate to be saved. All I earned and all I deserve today is God's wrath. And were it not for Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross, that's all I would ever deserve, no matter how my station may rank in this world. I am what I am because of God's grace. You need to be that way too. You're the evidence of God's power and God's matchless wisdom. As you deal with every detail of your life in agreement with, according to who you are in Christ, and what those three according matters have produced in you and will continue to produce going forward. Now there's one more thing that we need to understand. Well, I think that might be a good place to stop. But there's one, we haven't got to the aha moment yet. So it's going to get good in next session. But there is an aha moment where you have to be able to say, all right, that's good, but is it good enough to be able to answer the question, why? Why is God having Paul use according, according, according? And we've hinted at it, but we've not put our finger on it. We're going to take a 15-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to put our finger right on it and say, that's why these things are not stated any other way than according to, according to, according to. And we'll come back in about 15 minutes, and we'll deal with that. So take your break, and we'll be back